This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sports Betting Network, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas at the world's largest sportsbook, Circa Resort and Casino. Remember, if you missed any of the first hour of the program, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. Had a great conversation with Nick Alberga breaking down the NHL opening night slate. Tonight, we will continue to preview a little hockey in a bit, a little hockey betting 101, some more futures plays down the line. We'll have best bets at the end of the hour. Also coming up in 15 minutes, Ricky Gold, Juice Reel CEO, is going to join us in studio here at Circa. But want to dive in with some football news. We mentioned it off the top of hour one, but Joe Flacco, it appears, being traded to the Cincinnati Bengals. And according to the last report from Adam Schefter, the Bengals would like their new quarterback to start this weekend against the Green Bay Packers. 14.5-point spread with the Packers favored at home. But according to Schefter, love this last sentence, the veteran Flacco is expected to be a quick learner. Mm-hmm. So good.
I mean, what do we do with this? I'm asking you, like, what do we do with this?
I think it's funny that, like, the decision in general is just funny to me. I don't know what you expect to be that much better or different bringing Joe Flacco in for Jake Browning. You have one turnover prone quarterback, you're trading him for another turnover prone quarterback. You have a bad offensive line, you trade for a guy who is about as mobile as a tree. So I don't know what we're doing here. I think that number is probably appropriate, but what do you think of the Packers?
You tease it up.
What?
Give me Bengals plus 20.5. Let's go. Get it. Give me 15.
What a betting opportunity.
Yeah,
just that, like, this is just, it's, what do you think of the Packers right now, though? I think that's probably a bigger question, is how do you view Green Bay through the first 4-5 weeks of the season?
I mean, I thought they were going to be one of the better teams in the NFC, and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, maybe not. The defense.
Week one, we were like elite Super Bowl bound.
I think for Green Bay, everybody was freaking out about the defensive performance against Dallas. I think Dallas might be that good on offense. Dak Prescott's having an incredible year, as we brought up on Pod to the Futures with Mitch Moss and myself. Dak should be the favorite, not Christian McCaffrey, to win comeback player of the year the way that he's playing. And dare we say, if they make the playoffs, the fringes of MVP contention, the numbers that he's putting up. But that aside, so if we just assume that the Cowboys are a really good offensive team, and we can kind of draw a small line through that performance for Green Bay's defense, this is still one of the best defenses in the NFL, and thus I would expect that Joe Flacco, despite his wily veteran presence and the ability to pick up a playbook very quickly, according to Adam Schefter, I would assume that this is going to be a rough offensive outing for the Cincinnati Bengals.
And they are already the third worst offense in terms of points per game in the league right now. Fourth, averaging just 17 points per game. Mm. You're taking the quarterback from the team that has the second worst offensive output in the league.
I think they can. It's just fascinating.
I think
they can stay inside 20.5.
But hey, good news for the Shedeur Sanders crowd. He is finally QB2 for Cleveland. That's what we've been waiting for.
Should I tease them and tease up? I just want to make a teaser that'll make like all the hardcore gamblers very mad. So if I tease up like them to 20.5 and get like 10.5 with one of Atlanta or Chicago on Monday night, I think that's what we're going
to
do.
Okay. We have another report.
Hate to see a 15 coming, buddy.
That came in this morning, quarterback news, but in college football, didn't expect this early, but according to Pete Thamel, John Mateer pushing to return this week against Texas. He's responding well to surgery.
Okay. I dislike reports like this because does it mean he's going to play? Because there could be truth to the statement that John Mateer is pushing to play while at the same time having no shot at actually playing in this game this weekend. I don't know what a report like this means when you hear it specifically worded as John Mateer is pushing to play. Okay, it's fine. But our medical staff and the coaches behind the scenes are probably saying, buddy, no. Because if you make this worse, you're going to be out for longer, and we don't need that.
So Texas was a 3-point favorite yesterday when we were doing Do You Approve This Move? Came down to 2.5. Right now we're looking at 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
Total 42.5. So news is moving numbers.
I mean,
on the potential, but I even if he does come back, though, it's still surgery on your hand and you're a quarterback. Is that not important?
Well, it is, but it does seem like it's, I don't know if this is official or not. It seems like it's the same surgery that Jordan Love went through. Remember right before the season started, he had the hand procedure and he missed like 2 weeks of camp and then he was back and he was fine. So maybe that's just the same thing. Maybe it's just, hey, similar procedure, very minor. He can come back pretty quickly. As it's reported, as you said, There's a belief that he returned less than 3 weeks after the surgery. I don't know why you would want to push it. And at the same time, regardless of whether or not he's going to be available, your opponent by the week has looked less and less daunting. Texas has not looked good. I mean, we're talking about how bad this has been for the Longhorns. This becomes a more winnable game by the moment. So do you just try on what is allegedly a neutral to go out there and see if you can get this done and give him a break and see if then maybe you can get this win and then move on with him as obviously your guy? You do have some wiggle room. You're still 5-0. So if you're a team that is one loss, and look at your schedule now, you go to South Carolina. After that, that is a game that you can win with John Mateer back. I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to hear, oh, yeah, you know what, he's pushing for it. But at the same time, behind the scenes, them going, you're taking this week off, dude. Yeah. We need you for the rest of the season.
1.5 is the prevailing number, but here where we're at Circa, we're sitting 1. Pick 'em at Superbook as well. But another interesting layer to this is the Heisman conversation as well. When his injury first came down, what did we say? 80-1 was as high as he was available at. He's 18-1 in the market right now.
Yeah, assuming that he's, I mean, that's obviously, I think, some assumption that he's going to be back here.
Sure.
Because if you only miss, what was it, Kent State? If you only miss Kent State, you're not going to be in the worst position to not win the Heisman. But I think that if he misses, this is really just a bet on. If you're betting it now, you're betting that he's going to start this game. And obviously then winning, subsequently performing relatively well. I still don't. What do you think? I mean, I think that I think this is all noise.
Noise in the sense that
I think he's pushing to start. Yes, that might report might be true, but he's not going to play.
Yeah, I think that would make the most sense. Because if he is your best chance, which I think we all believe he is, to push in the SEC in a playoff spot and all of that stuff, you want him to be as healthy as humanly possible. So I don't think that you rush a player like him back, but that's just my two cents. Do you have any opinion on the Heisman market, though, as we throw that up?
I think Trinidad Chambliss should win the Heisman, and I think that that's a great bet that I alone had a thought about and believe should be invested in.
You're supposed to save that for tomorrow.
I mean, what am I supposed to do, ignore that?
Why not Wednesday's coming up? But it's an interesting one.
Do you think it's a great idea?
I really do. Yeah, you're the worst. Dante Moore.
Stormy's idea. I think it's a good idea. Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss, 15-1. I think it's going to be his job now moving forward. The schedule is, I think, opportunistic for them to rack up a lot of wins, especially the way that they have looked. And I'm stealing your thoughts here, but I don't know. It looks kind of like a softish Heisman market. I don't think there's anybody at the top that has really separated themselves from the pack.
No, and your short shots at the top of the board, by the way, Dante Moore of Oregon plus 550, Carson Beck 6-1, Ty Simpson plus 650, and Jeremiah Smith 9-1. I've said it once. I'll say it again. If you are in the first half of the season at all and you are betting a Heisman market at a single digit, you're doing it wrong because this market fluctuates so much. There's always going to be an opportunity to get a good number at double digits. So take advantage of it while you can. But I think Chambliss makes a ton of sense. And Ole Miss in general, I think, is a buy on team. I think they have figured out a few things this year. And so whether that means a deep run in the playoff or a national championship, I think any of those numbers are in play here. We also, while we just might as well continue down the quarterback injury trend, Vikings not in action this week. They do have a bye, but J.J. McCarthy set for, quote, extensive work this week. And Carson Wentz dealing with a sore shoulder as well coming out of the last game, but
I think we knew this was going to happen, right? We talked about this after the first Dublin game, which was, it doesn't make any sense to put J.J. McCarthy out there. It's a bad situation. Your offensive line's beat up. It's the Cleveland Browns pass rush. Let Carson Wentz just eat the snaps, see if you can grab a win, which they did, and then go into your bye, make sure McCarthy's healthy, and then you can come out after an extra week of preparation and healing and have him be your guy. I think that we're all expecting that J.J. McCarthy is going to be the starter when they come out of the bye week.
Yeah, no argument out of me. The other NFL update we got, the Chargers putting Omarion Hampton on injured reserve. And so this is obviously big for rookie of the year stuff. He's a player that I was invested in. So that's a little bit frustrating, especially with the opportunity with Najee Harris unavailable and all of that. So they have some things to figure out in the backfield. They obviously have offensive line injuries as well. What's your view on the state of the Chargers right now? After for a second, we're like, okay, can they win the AFC West? How good could this team be?
Oh, well, Chargers-wise, I mean, I think that you're a little worried about what they're going to be. Now, they get the Dolphins, who are absolutely awful and are probably going to be able to win that game here against Miami. I think you can make the argument the number's a little short. Dolphins, as we watched very closely on Sunday, have a big trouble stopping the run or just a bad team in general. So I think they're probably set to get a win here. The AFC West as a whole looks pretty tight now. I mean, all these teams essentially have the same odds to win it, and every single one of them has some giant flaws. You see it right there, right? Not much separating them. And I told Dave and Jensen this morning, give me the Chiefs. I mean, a plus 190. I'll take, of all the teams that have flaws, I'll take the team that has done it before. And as again, you know, it's funny. We talked about this to open the show. They are now on the wrong side of the variance with these one-score games. They've been in every single one of them. They're better than the record shows. So
that
I think that's it.
Freaking pick six.
I mean, that's it's unbelievable.
That's like, that's such a game-changing moment.
I mean, as somebody, look, I know I laid the worst of it, but as somebody was laying 3.5 too, I'm not entirely too happy with the way that went down because felt like I deserved better. I actually think your previous point is a more impactful one in that Amarian Hampton now slipping out of the Rookie of the Year standings in an Offensive Rookie of the Year race that looks really interesting. Amike Egbuka is now the odds-on favorite after this last week, coupled with the Hampton injury at minus 110. But you tell me this right now, and we can build on this maybe a different day. Would you honestly say that Ashton Jeanty and Jackson Dart have been better rookies than Tyler Warren?
No.
Than Teteroa and McMillan?
I love where your head's at right now because I immediately gravitated to T-Mac at 11-1, but Tyler Warren has been awesome.
Quinshon Judkins even as well. Like it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you got
that
16-1 on Judkins the other day, right?
Yeah, and it's ridiculous that we are here at this point. I know that's a product of liability. Dart looked awful in that game against the Saints. Didn't look particularly great against the Chargers either. This market is becoming more interesting by the day.
Hey, and listen, as we talk about all of these lines on the move, did you know that before the line moves, the sharp plays is already there, and they don't just follow the market. They're helping move it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbook or full-time sharps on your own. But with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI and plugged into insider trusted sources, sharp plays delivers the edge serious bettors use every day. It isn't just a weekend hobby. Since 2011, sharp plays has delivered documented results, public logs, transparent receipts. Sharpplays.com today. Check it out. Stay ahead of the line.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Very excited for our next guest to be in studio with us live here in Las Vegas. Ricky Gold, CEO of Juice Reel, on the desk with us here. What's going on? How are you?
Thanks a ton for having me on. It's great to be on with you guys.
When'd you get in?
I got in last night at about midnight.
Okay.
Just in time to play some late night poker.
There you go.
Late night poker. I was going to say, not enough time to do anything too crazy, but you're already making the most of your Vegas
experience.
There you go.
All right. So tell us a little bit about why you're here with us, a little bit about Juice Reel and the new things that are going on with it.
Yeah. So thanks again for having me on. So for those who don't know, Juice Reel is a free app you can download, and it helps sports bettors in a few different ways. One, keeping track of yourself is obviously critically important. So our app lets you connect in wherever you bet, DraftKings, FanDuel, wherever, all your bets load in, and we show you how you're doing on straight bets versus parlays, what are your best teams, worst players, all the different strategies, and how you're doing so you can get better. We help you shop lines from all the different books. You could almost think of it like Expedia. And then what gets really interesting is what we do with all of these different users all connecting in their betting accounts. Because with everyone's history all synced into our app, we're able to help people find what are good bettors betting on, and so you can copy them. What are bad bettors betting on, so you could do the opposite of them. And that becomes really powerful to kind of, you know, help you make money in sports.
It is such a good idea. Like, where did the origin idea, like, what's the origin story of Juice Reel? How did this all come together?
The origin story, I've been betting on sports probably since I was too young to be betting on sports. And
you'll fit in great here.
And my friends and I would always joke around. We'd hit a big bet and we'd joke with each other, you know, I'm lifetime profitable now. And everyone would be messing around like, no, you're not. And then, you know, decided like, that's when it became obvious, like, there needs to be a way to know that, a way to keep track of yourself, a way to know what you're doing. But what really made me actually start this company is when I realized that if you made a product that could automatically keep track of bets from anywhere, there's so much more you could do with that pool of information. For example, solving all of the fraud that exists in the pick selling industry, where people are selling picks on marketing rather than their actual talent and performance, which is, you know, something we're excited to solve.
What I would think, too, from a problem gambling standpoint, it helps you at least keep track of things in terms of how you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you have to know how you're doing to be a responsible gambler.
Can you tell us about the Sharpmush algorithm? Because I feel like this is a very interesting concept as well. And there's one game in particular I know that stood out this week in the NFL.
Yeah, so the concept of Sharpmush is you want to follow the sharps. At the exact same time, you also want to do the opposite of the mush, the bad bettors. And so we created, if you think about what are bet splits, you know, looking at the percent of money and the dollars risk, there's tons of flaws in that. And you can't really rely on that information. Like, did they count my bet? Probably not. But even more importantly, like, if Floyd Mayweather puts $1 million on a random college basketball game, there'll be a lot of money and not a lot of tickets. But that's not a sharp bet. What makes a sharp bet is talented sharp bettors are betting on it. And so what Sharpmush is it looks at who, based on everyone's betting history, what are the sharps actually taking? Based on everyone's betting history, what are the bad bettors taking? And is there a difference in activity? Are you seeing a lot of sharp people on one side and a lot of bad people on another side? And that is what defines a Sharpmush score.
Is there one this week?
Definitely. A game I've had my eyes on. I already locked my bet in. The Cleveland Browns over the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
Let them know.
I know you're excited about that one.
So with that in mind, a lot of bad bettors then are on the Steelers.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Exactly. A majority of the good bettors are on the Browns and with the spread, taking the points. And a lot of the bad bettors are on the Steelers currently. Something I'll definitely be following up till kickoff.
It's a big head-to-head matchup here on Money Moves.
How so? Okay.
You love the Steelers.
This is not fair. This is not fair. Because I have futures on the Pittsburgh Steelers, I have been rooting for them. I have their season win total over. I have them to make the playoffs. So I have not minded that even though they've been a Fugazi team, that I've been able to rack up some wins here. But I have the Browns in a teaser this week. I know you have the Browns in the spread outright. I understand where I'm at, okay?
I'm curious. So you have all this where, as a community, you can follow all these bettors. Is there an actual community element to the app? Like, can you interact with people? How does that work? And what's the community around the app been like?
Yeah, so there's definitely a community aspect in the app. What we made is so every single sports bettor becomes a potential buyer and a potential seller of betting advice, all backed by their performance. So we rank everybody every night, and you can click into anyone on the app, and they set a price for themselves of what they would want to sell their picks or advice for, and anyone can subscribe to them, be a part of their community. And when you're a part of their community, you're in a private group chat with them so you can like understand their process and things like that. But it's kind of democratizing and adding transparency to the betting advice world.
Ricky Gold, Juice Reel CEO, joining us here in studio at Circa Resort and Casino. And with that, like, how large is the community now? How many, do you know the number of like people in the app that you have regularly?
Yeah, a few hundred thousand people have signed up with us. About $4 billion in dollars risked on sports bets have been connected into the app by our users. I'm excited to kind of keep that growing.
At @juice_real, where you can give him a follow. Are you guys going to get into prediction markets next? Like, what's the next thing, huh?
I would expect to be able to connect your Kalshi account in Polymarket probably coming up.
So that's something you're really working on.
I mean, it's hard not to be working on it, considering they're really taking the world by storm.
Yep.
Any other games this week in the NFL that stood out as you were going through some of the games that people are most interested in?
That is a great question, and let me grab my phone quickly.
This is the perk of having the apps at your fingertips, as you can go through and check.
Well, and the best part is with all these sports now starting, because I always say it's my favorite time of year, so you have all of these other things. I know we get wrapped up in football, but NHL starting tonight, NBA starting in two weeks, like there's going to be so much opportunity.
Oh, it's that time where you can get the overlap of all the sports at the exact same time. Well, let me give one more that's got a nice sharp mush brewing is the over in the Bengals-Packers game. I don't know what they see because those offenses look not that sharp, but the over in the Bengals-Packers.
Okay.
We were just talking about that game, too, because the news this morning, Joe Flacco stepping in for the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, it's such a lateral, if not worse, move.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Gabriel looked good, or decent for the Browns, at least.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, when you say it's brewing, so what are the indicators that that lead to a sharp mush, if you will?
Yes, so as more and more people bet on the game, you know, it's still early in the week, not a lot of people have placed their bets, although a lot of sharp people tend to get their bets either right when the lines come out. So as the bets have started to pour in into that market, onto the over and under in the Browns, we're starting to see that percentage delta, the percentage difference between what the good and bad bettors are doing, that's been growing.
Was it difficult to get everything synced up with sportsbooks as you were going through making this happen?
Definitely. That took years of work. I started on this concept of the company in 2019, kind of didn't really get, we started really getting legs, took all the way to 2023 to start ramping up.
What was involved in terms of just reaching out to individual books?
Yeah, the tech, finding engineers, you know, I found the core of my team cold messaging them off of LinkedIn, actually, and taking them for coffee and saying, I have this crazy idea. Do you want to come work on this with me? And we were working. I had a full-time job when I started the company, and as did all of my original teammates. And so we've just been grinding on it nights and weekends. Now we obviously, we're full-time employees.
I love these kinds of stories. So what was the previous job? And when you're trying to build something like this, how many people were involved at the ground floor compared to what you have going now?
Yeah, before this, I worked in tech consulting, did tech consulting for banks.
That kind of crossover
I had the I had a little bit of the domain knowledge of, like, how would you build something like this? And I really went on LinkedIn, found three people, each with different tech specialties, took them out to coffee in New York City and said, I want you to do this, you to do that, you to this, and this is what I want us to build. And here's why. I think we'll solve some amazing problems for sports bettors. And that's what we did for years, really. Those guys are still with me.
Before we get out of here, let everybody know again, like, how you can download the app, where to find everything, if they can get involved.
The app is Juice Reel, juice like orange juice, Reel, R-E-E-L. You can find us on Twitter at @juice_reel. Go to the App Store, download the app, Google Play. It's free to download, and I hope you enjoy it.
It's so great. In an industry where we all crave transparency so much, I think what you guys are doing and what you've built and created is really, really cool. Ricky Gold, everybody, Juice Reel CEO. We're going to step aside. When we come back, pushing forward from the NFL, it is NHL opening night. We've got to break down the three games today, some futures plays, and a lot more. So keep it locked right here on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Florida Panthers begin their pursuit of the three-peat tonight. First game of the NHL on ESPN triple header that's coming up this evening as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. We're here. I'm so excited. I feel like opening night kind of creeped up on me, but in the best way. I'm very excited for the three games today.
Yeah. I mean, I have been pushing for more NHL content behind the scenes, and yet here we are.
Listen, you know, because you do 8 million things too, it can be tough sometimes to get your mind right and set and focused, and I finally did that this past weekend trying to get my headset for what is going to be a great NHL season. I'm really looking forward to this year. I wish I had more futures plays, but I do have a handful that I can give out. And the beauty of it, though, same thing with you in the NBA, same thing that we do each and every week as we talk about college football and the NFL, is you can bet so much of this stuff in season two that you can continue to build your portfolio out in different ways.
So before we get to the futures, my question would be, because I'm more curious, like, the futures are great, we're going to get to them. I'm more curious as somebody who has never bet NHL regular season with regularity in any way, shape, or form. How?
Okay, let's get into it.
Now, obviously, I know money lines and whatnot, but, like, you're looking for on a day-to-day basis, all these sort of things, the impact of travel. I know it hand over fist when it comes to the NBA. Just don't know.
So that is basic, and I think a good thing just to share for maybe some of our audience who doesn't bet hockey or hasn't bet hockey. It's very similar to baseball in that it is a money line sport. There are a lot of games. Just like baseball has a run line, we have a puck line. It's essentially the spread that you have in hockey. More often than not, it's going to be 1.5 goals. If it's a really big favorite, it can get up to 2.5 goals. You can also bet a game to finish in regulation or a 60-minute line that doesn't account for overtime like a regular money line bet will. So there's a handful of different options. Totals in hockey usually sit between 5.5 and 6.5. There's team totals available. You can bet games by period, just like you can in baseball, talking about like first 5 innings or whatever it is. You can do a goal in the first 10, goal in the first 5, first period, second period, third period, all of that good stuff. So there's so many different ways to bet. Another fun thing that I've started doing more of the last couple years as I've bet more hockey is kind of the correlated line combination plays. And I know we have a lot of guests that jump on that do that a lot with us as well, where you, if you think X player is going to score a point, well, let's look at who's on his line. Who do we think is most likely to pass the puck to him or get it from him, right? So you can kind of pair them together when there are players like Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, for example, who are going to be so juiced to have a point on any given night. But if you pair them together for some combinations, you can build things up for plus money and still feel like you're getting a good output. Another big thing in hockey is going to be goaltenders. So you need to know on any given night who your starting goalie is. There isn't like a set place where you can go for a morning skate report on every team.
Is there one you'd recommend?
If you're
closest?
So daily faceoff is usually really quick.
Okay.
So if you are looking for lineups for a team, they're usually very quick to update like who was in and out of the lineup at morning skate and who the starting goaltender is. But you can also just like follow a bunch of these guys on Twitter like you do for the NFL if you want to get into NHL betting. Follow these insiders like Frank Saravelli and Elliot Freeman and all these guys who are really, really in the know. That can be helpful too. Also, just we talked about this with Nick Alberga in hour one. Beginning of the season, tread lightly because just like in the NFL, there are teams that you've built up so much perception about this team is going to be so good, but they might come out the gates a little bit flat or not be as good as you think they are. And teams that maybe you don't have a good grasp on and don't think is going to be very good is going to win some games because, again, to give the MLB comp, like anybody can beat anybody on a given day in this sport, and there's so many games. So keep all that in mind.
Okay, travel. Our back-to-backs, what do we look for in terms of scheduling spots?
I mean, for me, goaltending is like the biggest element of that. At least for me personally, you want to, if you're going to have the same goaltender or if it's going to be a different goaltender, is going to be an important element of that.
Okay.
At certain points in the season.
So back-to-backs aren't necessarily as impactful in hockey.
You'll find throughout the course of the season trends of teams that are good at it
and
bad at
just
it.
Like
and
many,
I do really follow that a lot. But that's pretty much the most for me. Other people that bet hockey a lot might have a different perspective. But for me, that's something I want to build a sample size on more than anything else.
I'm going to do this. I'm following every day.
I
expect the same respect.
And maybe this is why I have a bet on the over 5.5 with the Panthers and Blackhawks tonight is we tend to see offenses do better and have more success early in the season than defensive players and blue liners. They're a little bit more disjointed on the back end. So I like the over in this Florida Panthers game for a handful of reasons. Blackhawks group that last season was 31st in the NHL in goals against, only beating out the Sharks in the category. And that's quite frankly been the norm for them for a while. The last 4 years, I believe I wrote down. Yeah, last 4 seasons, they are the only team in the league to give up at least 3.5 goals per game. They do have a new head coach, young guys figuring it out. Also, from the Florida Panthers side of things, we talk about the injuries that they have. The Barkov injury specifically, with him being out for the season with the torn ACL and the knee injury, that's going to be big for them defensively. So I don't expect Chicago to be some juggernaut on offense. I think they could have some opportunity tonight in what I expect to be kind of a clunky opening game anyways. And I know how much you love these. So this is nothing to impact the why of these bets.
Okay.
But I love fun facts that can support my bias. Blackhawks.
Don't we all?
Because I also did like a little tiny same game parlay just for the Panthers to win and the over 5.5 together to get it to a plus money, plus 130. Blackhawks 1-5, their last 6 season openers.
Wow.
Panthers and home openers have been awesome. 9 straight wins, 11-0-2, their last 13. And defending champs the last 3 years all won their openers. We saw 10 combined goals for the Panthers banner night last year.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with what's going to happen tonight, but I just like the support of evidence.
How many of these Blackhawk players were on that team 5 years ago when this trend started?
Useless, but it's just fun.
Can I make the case?
What?
Chicago's not going to be live here tonight?
They could be, sure.
I mean, because I know a lot of old school handicappers like, well, you know, banner night, and it's pretty distracting for the team at home. But I don't even think about that. I'm just, this team, Florida's played a lot of hockey. They've had a lot of deep runs in the postseason.
Hard games, too. So I don't hate it at all.
You know what I mean? Just like, we're talking, what, so back-to-back champs, three straight Stanley Cup finals. So now it's just opening night against this young plucky group who's like, we got to get off to the season. We got to get off a good foot. Let's go. And just skating around in circles, just putting your full foot forward as a young team versus a group of old dudes that have won two titles and like, man, it's October.
Sure.
Okay.
It's opening night. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's why I say tread lightly early in the season. I am a sample size better more than anything in this sport. I'm going to be easing my way in. As we find out more information about these teams, that's when you'll see me betting bigger units and betting more games on a regular basis. While we're on the Panthers, though, sure. I gave this out already last week, but I am on their season team points under 100.5. The Barkov injury is significant. One of the best two-way players in the NHL. They're not going to have Matthew Tkachuk until at least December. Tomáš Nosek also had a training camp injury. He's an important depth piece. I think that for as much hockey as they've played and as many of their quality players that are going to be playing during the Olympic break as well, this is just, it's a sub 100 point team for me. I think they could still make the playoffs if they're in the 90s. So even if you think that they're going to put themselves in a position the back end of the year, under feels like a good bet for me in this. I didn't make a bet in the Atlantic, but the division being so tough is another layer to that as well. I really like the Lightning. I know Nick Alberga came on earlier and said he feels like the Maple Leafs are actually getting addition by subtraction on Mitch Marner. Maybe that is the case. I'm not sold on it yet, but with the Panthers having a diminished roster, Toronto losing Marner, the Sens, yes, on their way up, but I think that the Lightning are still the better team. They haven't won the division since 2019. Maybe they do want it. So they're the favorite in the division. It's nothing mind-boggling, but I think that that's in play. I do have the Golden Knights. I bet the Golden Knights every year to win the Stanley Cup. So I'm there again, okay. 10
to 1. Actually pretty good, though, this year. I mean,
I believe it. Yeah. And I like them to win the Pacific Division as well, plus 165. The Oilers are the favorite in the division, but I think it's the Golden Knights, and the Mitch Marner acquisition is significant to that. I'm on his points over 92.5, a little bit of juice at -115, but he's got so much offensive talent around him, the ability to roll four lines. He's going to be paired up with Jack Eichel and Ivan Barbashev, who's taken such a significant role. I think that line, I was looking for Ivan Barbashev points props, because I think being paired up with those two could, like,
I saw him.
Could you? I couldn't find any when I was going through. If you can, let me know, because I think he is a bet on player playing on that line with those two. But Marner specifically, he had 102 points last year, fifth in the NHL in points, gone over this number of three of the last four seasons. I think the only way he stays under this is if he's playing sub 68 games. So stay healthy, Mitch. I think we get there. I didn't bet Eichel over his goals, but I thought about it, 30.5. He could be an interesting choice too, I think, for Hart Trophy, if you're looking for a bang for your buck pick at 30-1. And a play on Connor McDavid, 40 plus goals. His actual prop is at 38.5, but I liked this option at plus money. You're getting plus 130. He said in the lead up to the season, a priority for him this year is to score more goals. A couple years ago, when he had very similar comments, had 64. And only 26 this past year, had injuries that set him back, but still played at a 33 goal pace with him taking a back seat in the scoring area.
What is an elite individual goal scoring season, like in terms of total goals?
To have like 40 plus? Is okay. Legit.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. That's my big trouble too, is knowing what is, it's like statistically what the benchmarks are for, you know, any given level of performance.
I mean, we've seen guys break out. Like I said, Connor McDavid having 64 a couple years ago, what Austin Matthews has done in years past. But if you're having a 40 goal season, that is an awesome year for any player.
Okay.
But I like McDavid to do that. I'm trying to think, did I miss anything? I know you have a couple futures that we're going to give out as well. I'm pretty pumped that you got involved. If you want more information ahead of the season as well, we have a full NHL hub. Jonathan Davis, who's going to join us in studio tomorrow, did so much work. VSiN.com/NHL. You get team preview, futures bets, best bets, approach to the season. So much good stuff. We'll be right back.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sports Betting Network, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Did want to give a quick shout out to Leo Marvin on X for chiming in, because we were talking about places to find more starting goalies data, and he suggested the Left Wing Lock app. I had not used this before. He said that is where he gets the best data for starting goalies.
Okay.
So check it out if you haven't already. Good stuff there.
The Left Wing Lock app?
Left Wing Lock app. Okay. And I didn't mention last segment.
Won't
I forgot
to. Dave Ross on there.
But one of the plays that I didn't rehash last segment that we did on a Why Not Wednesday a few weeks ago was I did also add in the Minnesota Wild to win the Stanley Cup just as a long shot potential sleeper future at 40-1. And I heard Jensen Lewis talking about it this morning as well, that he had interest in the Wild. Jonathan Davis did shoot him down, so maybe we can have a little more of that conversation later. But I feel like if this is a team that could stay on the right side of the injury bug and have Philip Gustafson continue to elevate in net, figure out the penalty kill a little bit here, that this could be a plucky team. They just need to get over the hump, right? Like, Kirill Kaprizov missing all that time with the injuries last year. Prior to that, they looked like a clear-cut Western Conference-type contender. And even in the postseason against the Vegas Golden Knights, they go up in that series. He and Matt Boldy were doing whatever they wanted against the VGK. Sure. They end up losing three straight, but, like, how many overtime games did they have to make that happen?
I think you were in two of them, right?
They very easily could have gone on to win that series. So I think that they, at 40-1, let's give it a shot. Why not?
I'm down. I appreciate this. Unlike some people who would maybe scoff at my newfound love for the world's beautiful game, I'm here and I am listening and I'm involved.
I made an effort to make a soccer bet. Okay,
right.
JBT.
One.
So, and I lost, so I'm down in the dumps about it.
Well, I've made two hockey bets, Stormy.
I'm pumped. Let's go. Let's see what you got.
Both revolve around one player. I think this makes sense. I really don't have any deep analysis. I can give you, Corsi 4% when he's on the ice by himself. I don't really know about it. Give me Austin Matthews over 90.5 points for the season and 18-1 to win the Hart Trophy. Obviously with Marner gone, there's going to be, I would assume, narratively just a little bit more on the shoulders for Austin Matthews. And I think that leads to a pretty strong season. I think that there's going to be more, whether it's forced or actual by design, opportunity for him to score, go over this point total, carry Toronto a little bit more. I think we already know he's perfectly capable of doing something like this. So the little bit of the mid-range shot to win the Hart Trophy, which I believe is MVP.
Yes.
Okay. And then over 90.5 points. That would have sucked if that was like, best goaltender, because that would have been screwed. Also, 18-1 probably wouldn't have been the best number to get it at. But yeah, so let's go. Austin Matthews over 90.5 points and to win the Hart Trophy, 18-1. And I will add more throughout the season because I want to bet this a little bit more. I want to watch it a little bit more. I have not grinded through an NHL regular season. So I am very interested in seeing, sometimes I watch regular season hockey and I think I watch 60 minutes of dump and chase and all right, we'll see what happens from there. But I will try my best.
Yeah, you will see, at least for me, by the way, through the early portion of the season, I'm going to be a little bit more selective, probably diving in more on days where we have the shorter slate of games so that I can really dig into a handful of games versus the full slate days. We just have to manage our time, I feel like, with us being in the thick of it with fall, and we have so much going on right now.
What are you talking about? Time management? No.
What is that?
Let's go.
I am really.
That's why you don't sleep.
I am really excited, by the way, though. I put it out on social media yesterday. I could not believe I made the graphic for the NHL on ESPN.
Oh, stop.
I was very excited. I didn't last year, and I did a couple of games, but I was.
But that was like the tail end of the year. Did they ask you last minute?
I did opening night last year and one other regular season game, but I'm going to be doing a handful of games this year. Between the
Great.
Benches, and I'm very excited about it. It'll be
saying,
fun. Not until after college football is over. So
that's
what I'm saying.
What's your boss's name?
I'm not going to put that out there.
What's your boss's name?
Her name's Linda.
Linda. Only Vegas games. Please make my life a little bit easier, okay? And I don't mean like VGK games on the road. Like just here. Please make my life easier.
I'm sure Linda is really listening right now, very
you never
intently.
Know. You never know.
You never know
who's listening. Yeah, there you go. See?
We do. I thought you would be happy, though, that it's not double dipping during fall. We're going to wait until college football season is over for me to do some of those games. So
yeah, I do have some influence already.
Well done. And then again, just to rehash, and here, let's do our best bets presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. I mentioned already that we do have the Blackhawks and Panthers over 5.5. I did do a small play, but it doesn't need to be like an official super serious one on the...
No, we only take super serious ones.
Same
here.
Game parlay with the Panthers to win the game as well.
As opposed to serious ones.
but the full unit play on the over 5.5 for that game. I've got a couple teasers that I added to the old portfolio this week for week 6 in the NFL as well, bringing the Lions up to 7.5, although it was a bad number. You can do it to 8.5 now, taking on the Chiefs this week, and the Rams minus 1.5 against the Ravens. I also have the Rams as an anchor leg paired up with the Browns plus 11.5.
Man, I lost the first teaser of the year this weekend. Thanks a lot, Jackson Dart and the New York Giants.
I know. I was bummed on that, too, because I had them in I had them in a three-leg teaser that I put together, and that was the only leg that lost.
Oh, so that was the loser in the tripod,
that was a buzzkill.
Yeah, that was very disappointing.
Do you have anything else for today, or was it just those futures?
No, that's it. I mean, we'll be rooting on the Seattle Mariners against the Detroit Tigers later today. So that's actually coming up in like 10 minutes, isn't it, or something like that? Or is it already underway? It's been delayed so far. Yeah, we're in the first. So, but yes, we'll be very much rooting for Seattle in this spot against Detroit. As we talked about with Flaherty, Flaherty's got some indicators that the 464 is maybe a little inflated considering what he has really done from a pitching standpoint. And we saw a flash of that on Thursday against Cleveland. You know, he went out 4 2/3, only gave up 3 hits, 1 earned run, struck out 4. So I think Flaherty does have a little bit more. And this Mariners lineup has kind of been hit or miss every once in a while. So I trust that the Mariners are going to be able to get this thing done. And we'll very much be rooting that home later this evening.
Best bets, again, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. And right now you can earn a $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with a GBank Visa signature card. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money. GBank treats them as regular purchases, so no cash advance fees, saves you 3-5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cashback on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cashback on everything else you buy. You can apply now at VSIN.com/GBank, VSIN.com/GBank.
Got two things for you. Dan checks in. Do we read this yet? Says the two NHL trends that I bet blindly, so you can tell me. VGK pick line when hosting a team coming in.
He means puck line.
Oh, okay, puck line. Yeah. When hosting a team, I don't know, coming in to play the second half of a back-to-back.
Okay.
And then after a team was shut out, I think Jonathan Davis was on this last week, bet on a goal in the first 10 minutes of their next game.
And that's another great note, too, by the way, at VSIN.com/NHL, that hub that Jonathan Davis put together. And we'll have a great conversation with him tomorrow, getting the lay of the land on some of his system plays that he trusts. I know that he has data going back a handful of years, but last year that was a huge trend for him that he was jumping on and cashing tickets on regularly.
And then not to bring up some bad memories, but Brian does say that we were going to have to give you some protective gear if you're going to be between the benches a little bit more.
You're not wrong. For anyone who did not know, I definitely got hit with a puck last year.
For anybody who did not know, statistically...
It's scary.
Statistically speaking, the Vegas Golden Knights in that game in the third period had more shots on Stormy than they did on goal.
It was...
I think for the entire game.
That was... that was a tough bounce. But... I think it was worse because it hit me in the funny bone. So it made like that whole pulsing sensation up your entire arm. And then when you are very excited, like this was my first time that I was doing NHL postseason games for a national network ever.
They just hit the pucks harder.
I previously was a team reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights here in Vegas. And I did regional stuff, and regional sports networks do get access to the first round of the playoffs. But it was my first time doing national games, right? And it's my second postgame ever interview for the playoffs ever. And I'm so excited. Going to interview Connor McDavid after the game. And before I ask him a question off camera, he goes, "You got clocked with a puck. Are you okay?" Ah! So that's my memory now. That's how we start my postseason
career. I didn't believe you.
What do you mean?
Like, I didn't believe you. When you got hit, I thought you were being dramatic.
No.
And then after the show, you showed me your elbow. And I was like, oh, yeah, you actually got hit.
Blew up. And I had to do a bench interview with Bruce Cassidy, like, 3 minutes of real time afterwards.
You want a little bit of breaking news?
Yes.
As we are inching closer to the season, LeBron James, by the way, did you see this with the announcement?
So
I knew it. We called it.
Is it retirement?
No, or
is
of it, course not. It was
a commercial type thing?
He's partnering with Hennessy.
So,
they, by the way, the offshore market, that cash, that was the favorite. New ad partner or whatever it was, that was plus 170.
The second decision.
I'll show you what 100-1 was. That was pretty funny. LeBron James is expected to miss the preseason. The expectation is that he's going to be ready to go for opening night, but he is dealing with nerve irritation in the glute. Mm. So keep that in mind. We always hear expected to miss the preseason, but ready for opening night. That's just always something to file away. Maybe he won't be ready for opening night. Just something to put out there.
All right. Worth noting for sure. And we'll have plenty more NBA over the next couple of weeks getting you set for the season. But again, our NBA betting guide is out now. That's a wrap for us today here on Money Moves. But tomorrow should be a fun show. We'll have Why Not Wednesday, some long shot props that could be worth a look. Yes, we'll talk about the marquee college football games on the slate this coming week, but also West Coast bias coming up tomorrow, which is always fun. Stay tuned right here, though. Follow the Money coming up next with Mitch and Pauly. A couple great guests on deck for them. Paul Stone is going to have his best bets in college football, and Derek Stevens rolling along as well, talking through all the carnage in Circus Survivor and more. Have a great day.
And it's a trip to Seattle.
Yeah, true.